Father, thank you so much that we're a church where we love God, love people, have a blast. Thank you that we can be ourselves, we can be real, we can be authentic in terms of who we are in relationship with you. God, I understand that in real life, people struggle. People have been struggling this week, this season. Some have been fighting emotional battles, some physical, some spiritual. You are mindful of that. You don't candy coat what life is all about. In fact, you tell us in your word that we're in a battle, but you also tell us that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, and that you give us the armor of God to fight and to win, and that you provide your Holy Spirit to empower us. So Lord, as we wrap up our study in the book of Ephesians today and we talk about the battle, I pray that this would be truth that goes into every person's heart and mind and soul, truth that would set us free. I pray for every one of us here, whatever struggle we have and whatever battle we're fighting, we would put on the armor of God and that we would realize the victory has already been won for us in Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, if you are joining us for the very first time, you can see that we're a very professional outfit here at Crossline. Thanks so much for being here. We like to say at Crossline that we want to be a safe place to hear a life-changing message. And the life-changing message that we've been hearing the last several weeks is from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. We've been discovering how to live God's best life. And we come to the very last section of this book in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that we're engaged in a spiritual battle. And he's going to exhort us to take up and to put on all the resources, the armor, the weapons that God provides us to actually win the spiritual battle. And what he's doing is he's drawing to a conclusion an exhortation that he gave us in chapter 5 about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about this Spirit-filled life the last several weeks. I want you to think in terms of the fizzy principle. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There used to be a drink called a fizzy. It's like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. You drop it in a glass of water and it fizzes, hence the scientific name fizzy. And it would have a certain flavor. So if it was a cherry fizzy, it would fizz and cherry would then become part of the drink, like Kool-Aid. If it was grape, it would fizz grape and you'd have a grape drink. If it was root beer, it would fizz and you'd have a root beer drink. The Bible says this, the very moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our lives. He's the Spirit of Jesus, so he fizzes Jesus in our lives. He produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He gives us power. He produces holiness. He causes us to become more like Jesus. He reproduces and activates and empowers within us our new nature in Christ. And so what Paul is telling us is that we are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Taylor last week talked through what it looks like to be a Spirit-filled person. In Ephesians 5 and 6, we're to be Spirit-filled believers in our relationships with one another. We're to be Spirit-filled husbands. We're to be Spirit-filled wives. We're to be Spirit-filled dads. We're to be Spirit-filled children. We're to be Spirit-filled bosses. We're to be Spirit-filled employees. And in this last passage, in the context of the spiritual battle, Paul says we're to be Spirit-filled soldiers. The only way we can win the battles in our lives is to rely upon the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul unpacks for us the various pieces of armor that we have to put on so that we can be Spirit-filled soldiers who not only fight the battle, but actually win. Actually win. So he says this in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul is concluding the entire book of Ephesians in this final section about spiritual warfare and being a Spirit-filled soldier. He says, finally, it's a concluding statement. So all that he said in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, the first 9 verses of chapter 6, he says that comes to a conclusion in this. This is the point of contact of actually living it out. If you've been in church for a while, you probably love it at the point in the sermon where the pastor says, finally, my last point, in conclusion, That's what the Apostle Paul is doing, so to speak, in his Book of Ephesians sermon. But he's actually doing something more, because this little phrase, because it's actually a phrase, not just one word, that's translated finally, could more accurately be translated as henceforth, or from now on, or maybe in the way we might say it, the new normal is, and what he's going to say is that the new normal is spiritual conflict, therefore be strong in the Lord. The new normal is spiritual battle, therefore put on the full armor of God. The new normal is you're in a fight, therefore let God fight the battle for you and through you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul actually uses three terms for might or strength or power or force. The first one is in the form of a command to be strong. It's actually the command to be empowered, because it's the Greek verb endunamao, based on the word dunamis. We've heard that term before. Dunamis, it's a word where we get dynamite or dynamic or dynamo. We're to be empowered by the Lord. In Acts 1:8, where Jesus gives this great promise, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the word dunamis. Here it's in the form of a verb, dunamao, and it's in the form of endunamao, which literally means let the Lord empower you. We don't empower ourselves. The Lord empowers us, and the command is let the Lord empower you. So whatever is standing in the way from God pouring his power into your life, the command is to get it out of the way. Whatever obstacle is stopping God's power flowing into your life, into your marriage, into your family, into your workplace, into your life as a follower of Jesus, into your winning the spiritual battle, whatever obstacle there might be, get rid of that. Like right now, we're having to call a plumber out of our house because one of our drains is kind of stopped up. So you turn the water on and you hear this. And if you leave the water on for a while, it'll fill up the sink. Something is there clogging it up. So what we need to do is get it unclogged. Maybe something's clogging up the channel of God's power coming into your life. The command of Ephesians 6 is get it out of the way, so that God can empower you. And how does God want to empower you? He wants to empower you with his mighty strength. Because not only does Paul use the term endunamao, he uses the terms kratos and iskuos. One is a term for strength and might, and the other is a term for force that is applied to an immediate obstacle. So in the context, the immediate obstacle is whatever the devil and his demons is trying to throw your way to stop you from being the Christian God wants you to be. You know, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So there is a thief who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. There is a devil who wants to accuse and tempt and deceive. There are demons who want to disrupt and bring conflict into our lives, emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical conflict into our lives. And so God says, be strong in the Lord and in his might, in his power. Think about it. God uses three terms to reinforce one principle. And the principle is this: we can't do it on our own. The Christian life is a supernatural life. Winning the spiritual battle takes supernatural resources. So you know what God does? He provides supernatural resources. And he invites us to strengthen ourselves. He invites us to let his power flow into our lives. He invites us to let his might and force that's applied to the very obstacle that we're facing to come flooding into our lives to give us spiritual victory. Because God doesn't want us just to fight. He wants us to fight and win. And it's the new normal. It's the new normal. We're to be aware that we're in a conflict. At the same time, we're to be aware that God provides all the resources that we need to fight and actually win the spiritual battle. So in the next section, he tells us how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and why we need it. So he says this, verses 11 to 14. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then in the Lord. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. That's a command. The way we allow the Lord to empower us is by us putting on God's armor. I love the way that's phrased. Only God can empower us to win, but the way God empowers us is by us putting on the full armor of God. See, there's God's part and there's our part. There's God's part and there's our part. God's part is to empower us for victory. Our part is to put on all the resources that God provides to give us the victory. If you don't put on the resources, you don't receive the power. Oh, that's tweetable right there. I like that. That's good. See, God wants to give us spiritual victory, so he provides all the resources we need to be victorious. In fact, the phrase full armor is a Greek phrase, panoplia. And what panoplia means is all the pieces of armor that the Roman soldier had available to him. So it's actually a military term talking about being fully equipped, having all the armor and having all the weapons, and now you're ready to go fight and win the battle. So the idea is we don't just piecemeal what we put on. Oh, you know, today maybe I just need a little love. And the next day, today I'll take on a little holiness. Oh, you know what? I've kind of been weak in faith. I'll have a little faith today. No, you take the whole armor. The whole armor. Why? Because the devil and his demons come at us right and left. You know, you know that phrase, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? I've discovered that no matter what side of the bed I get up on, the devil's there, ready to take me out. The devil and his demons are relentless in seeking to defeat us spiritually, rob us emotionally of our strength, discourage us, take our hope away, break apart our relationships. And so what we need is the power of God. And we receive the power of God when we put on the full armor, because the devil has schemes. Plural, with an S. Schemes. His different ways. The Greek word here is, it's so appropriate. It's methodios. What English word does that sound like? Methods. The devil has methods. And if one method doesn't work, he tries another. And if that doesn't work, he tries another. You know, he brings a bunch of lust, temptation into your life, and you resist it, and you feel pretty good about yourself, and all of a sudden you're full of pride. You discipline yourself for godliness and you feel so good about it that you're working a program and now you're a legalist. You see, he just subtly and sometimes very frontally will try to take us out because he has schemes, he has methods. And what Paul wants us to understand about this spiritual battle and these schemes of the devil is he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, in the immediate context, the flesh and blood that he's talking about, all the way back to Ephesians 5:18 to 21, about being filled with the Spirit, fellow believers. And then Ephesians 5:22 to 32, husbands and wives. And then Ephesians 6:1-4, parents and children. And then Ephesians 6:5-9, bosses and employees. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Turn to the person next to you and say, my struggle isn't against you. Our struggle is not against one another. Our struggle is not against Trump. Our struggle is not against Pelosi. Our struggle is not against Fox News. Our struggle is not against CNN. Our struggle is against spiritual forces of wickedness. Our struggle is against powers of darkness. That's what the Bible says. See, the devil and God are not equal opposites. You've heard me teach this. You know the concept of equal opposites. The equal opposite of high is low. The equal opposite of tall is short. The equal opposite of fat is skinny. The equal opposite of dark is light. The equal opposite of God is nothing, because God is infinite. He's the creator, and everything else is the creation. So the devil is a created angel. Very powerful, but a created angel. So the devil cannot be two places at the same time. He's not omnipresent. God is omnipresent, but the devil is not. But the fact that the devil is not omnipresent doesn't mean if the devil is not right in front of you, you don't have a spiritual battle, because the devil has demons, rulers, authorities, powers of wickedness. And this phrase is presented as a hierarchy. It's the same phrase that's used over in Ephesians chapter 1 when we saw that passage talking about the authority of Christ when he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. It's the same phrasing that's used in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, that talks about at the cross, the devil was defeated and Jesus triumphed over all rule, authority, power, and dominion. It's the same phrase that's used in Romans chapter 8, where Paul talks about how nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor things to come, nor the present, nor rule or authority or power, nor any created thing could ever separate us from the love of God. This is a phrasing that teaches a demonic hierarchy. Just like in the military, because this is kind of a military language, battle language. In the military, you got the generals, the colonels, the majors, the captains, the lieutenants, then the non-commissioned officers. In the same way, in the demonic realm, there are demons with increasing spheres of authority and influence. And so you have the schemes of the devil, and you have these demonic hierarchies, and believers, that's us, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we live our lives not on the playground, but on the battleground with an enemy that's trying to defeat us. And the enemy is not flesh and blood. That might be the delivery mechanism, by the way. I mean, it may feel like flesh and blood, but that's not our real enemy. And so we're to be strong in the Lord. How are we strong in the Lord? Well, we put on the full armor of God. Why do we put on the full armor of God? So we can take our stand against the schemes of the devil. And it's not just the devil, because our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against one another. It's against this rulers, authorities, power, and dominion, this demonic hierarchy. And if we will put on the full armor of God, because he says it again, verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, what do you notice about that? Not if, when the day of evil comes. Here's the good news of today's sermon. You were either coming out of the day of evil, you were in the day of evil, or you're stepping into the day of evil. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in an evil world, and there is an evil one seeking to defeat us, and there is a day of evil, but we don't have to be afraid of it, but we do need to be prepared for it. Oh, that's another tweetable, right? That man, that was good. You have to be afraid of it, but you got to be prepared. How are you prepared? You got to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. You got to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. Now, I want you to see something here. It says, verse 11, take your stand against the devil's scheme. Verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then verse 14 says, stand. So in the space of like three verses, four times it says, stand, 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 stand. Let me think about the main idea here in this passage. It seems like it might be that I stand. Not run away. See, it's counterintuitive because, you know, it's like when Goliath stepped into the Valley of Elah and he shouted out at the Israelites, They were like scared. So what they want to do? They wanted to run away. That's part of Satan's strategy, is to intimidate us. Part of his scheme is to intimidate us, to make us think we can't win. He's too powerful. And if he's really subtle, we don't even think about him. We think about us. I can't overcome this struggle. It's too ingrained in me. I can't overcome this addiction because I'm an addict. We start defining ourselves with the terms that Satan uses, and those very that very terminology has implicit within it the fact that we can never overcome it because it's just who I am. It's just who I am. That's a lie. See, that's part of his strategy. That's part of his schemes. He accuses, he attempts, and he deceives. But what we're to do is to take our stand. But the only way we can take our stand, whether our struggle is with bitterness, or whether our struggle is with lust, or whether our struggle is with fear, or whether our struggle is with pride, or whether our struggle is with materialism, or whether our struggle is with selfishness, or whether our struggle is with a deep sense of pain and loss, or whether our struggle is with depression, or whether our struggle is hopelessness. Whatever the struggle is, it's a scheme that Satan is trying to use to defeat us and rob us and kill us and destroy us spiritually. But we've got to be able to take our stand. And the way we take our stand is by being strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and putting on the full armor of God. So God is, he's helping us understand here. Yes, we're in a battle. Yes, the battle is real, but we have everything we need to win it. You have everything you need as a follower of Jesus Christ to win the battle that you're in. And the battle might seem very, very real. In fact, it might seem overpowering. He uses the term our struggle. It's the Greek word pale, which means a wrestling match. It's hand-to-hand grappling. And if you've ever seen a wrestling match, real, not, you know, big time wrestling, real wrestling, or if you've ever competed, it's one of the most physically exhausting sports. Think about these guys train hours upon hours upon hours to compete for like 6 minutes. They train that much to get in the kind of physical condition to just compete for 6 minutes because it's so physically exhausting. And maybe that's the way you feel right now. You might just feel, I am just worn out. I know that some of us, that's the way we feel. We're just depleted. We feel spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically, we're worn out. I mean, we've been trying to fight. We've been holding up that shield of faith, but man, my shoulder's tired. I'm getting a cramp. I can't hold it up any longer. Because we're in hand-to-hand combat with Satan and with his demons. You know, I wouldn't believe it if the Bible didn't say it. It's a real battle against a real enemy, and he doesn't fight fair. And he tries to exploit our weaknesses and our real struggles. He tries to take us out. So what God says is, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Take up the full armor of God. It's the only way we can stand. It's the only way we can stand. So verses 14 to 18, he says, now let me tell you all you got in the armor. Let me tell you what you actually have. This is what you have. It's at your disposal. It'll help you win if you put it on and take it up. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul says here, we've got this armor and this weaponry that's available to us. It's ours. We have access to it. It's actually our birthright in Jesus Christ. And every believer has this. And he's he's thinking as he's writing this. This is known as a prison letter because Paul is in a Roman prison cell as he's writing this. He's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman prisoner, a Roman guard, so he's able to see the armor that he has. He also has, much of this is reminiscent of some of the description in the book of Isaiah where it describes God's warrior. And so Paul has this Isaiah motif of God's warrior and how he's equipped, and he's got the Roman soldier. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, this is all the weaponry and armor that every believer has, and if you'll put it on and take it up, you'll win the battle. If you'll put it on and take it up, you'll win the battle. So what do we have? What does every believer in Jesus Christ have? Well, we have the truth. It's like a belt or a girdle. We've got righteousness. It's like a breastplate. We've got the gospel, the readiness to share the gospel that sets people free, that brings salvation to people. We got that shotted on our feet. We've got the shield of faith that'll extinguish every fiery dart of the evil one. Every accusation, every temptation, every deception he'd try to fire at us, we've got faith that could diffuse that. And we've got salvation, like a helmet, protecting our head. And we've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We got the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that can pierce and divide, that can defend and can slash at the enemy. And we've got prayer. We've got prayer where we can pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers on all kinds of occasions to pray for one another. And every believer has these weapons to fight and to win. I have, and you have, every believer in Jesus Christ has truth and righteousness and the gospel and faith and salvation and the Word of God and prayer. And so what we're to do is we're to put it on and take it up. We're to put it on and take it up. We're to put it on and take it up. And the descriptions of how we put it on and take it up, when, you know, we're to gird and we're to fit and we're to shod and we're to take up and we're to put on and we're to take up. Those are all descriptive words, action words, verbs in the present tense. So we're to do it today and we're to do it tomorrow and we're to do it the next day. We're to do it this moment and we're to do it the next moment and we're to do it the next moment and we're to do it the next moment. We keep on doing it. You got to keep on putting on, taking up. Keep on putting on, taking up. Keep on putting on, taking up. That's how we're strong in the Lord and in the strength of His mighty power. It's by putting on and taking up the various resources that we have. And in the grammar, the way the Apostle Paul describes this, in the putting on and taking up, he says, the word is, you kind of, you gird and you fasten and you take up and you shod and you put on and you take up the sword. It's an imperative again. The other terms are descriptive of putting on the full armor. What does it look like to put on the full armor? Well, you got to have the truth and righteousness, and you got to have the gospel, and you got to have faith, and you got to have salvation. But then he comes back to this idea of a command again. It says, take up the sword. In other words, he's highlighting how this piece of the armor ties everything else together, because everything else is based on what's in here. You got to have the sword of the Spirit. And then he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. That animates and empowers the process of putting on the full armor of God. When we pray and we ask God to do what only God can do, and we pray with all kinds of prayers. Some prayers are praises, and some prayers are thanksgivings, and some prayers are confessions, and some prayers are intercessions for other people, and some prayers are petitions for yourself, and some prayers are just minute quick, Lord, help me, and some prayers you spend time in prayer and fasting being able to settle in with God. But through all kinds of prayers, pray in the Spirit. And then he says, and here's a very specific kind of prayer that you got to pray as part of fighting and winning the spiritual battle. He says this in verses 19 and 20. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul says, pray for me that I will boldly preach the gospel. Pray for me that I will be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Pray for me that I will fearlessly share the gospel with others. Because what Paul is tying together here is that in the spiritual battle, the goal is not just to defend yourself against the enemy. The goal is to defeat the enemy. It's not just defend yourself, it's defeat. So you have all kinds of armor that protects yourself against his attack, but then you got some weapons that you use to not only stand your ground, but to move against him and defeat him. So the armor of God enables us to stand. The word and prayer and preaching the gospel takes it right to the enemy and helps us accomplish the mission of Jesus Christ and fully win the spiritual battle. So this is the new normal. Finally, from henceforth, from now on, you need to know you're in a battle and you need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might by putting on the full armor of God. So what are some takeaway principles here for living God's best life? Wrapping up the entire book of Ephesians that we've been studying over the last several weeks. Here's some takeaways. Number one, understand the reality and nature of the spiritual battle. So you got to think like in the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, where they're landing on the beaches at Normandy and the bombs are exploding and these men, some are being wounded and some are being killed and some are making it onto the beach, but it's a battle scene. We have got to think about our lives as a battle scene. It's not the playground, it's the battleground. Because if we don't understand and fully embrace the reality of the battle, we won't draw upon the Lord's strength. We won't put on the full armor of God. We'll think, I got this covered. That's what we'll think. And if we think, I got this covered, we're casualties every time. And you know, there's different types of casualties. There are the obvious casualties, people who are in the full bondage of some kind of addiction. But then there are other types of casualties. Those are people who think they have it all together, but are emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. If we try to live our lives independent of God's resources, we are casualties every time in the spiritual battle. That's why we have to understand the nature of the battle. In 1 John 2, the Apostle John says, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, that's not from the Father, that's from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." There's a battle out there. We live in a context, in a world system that is opposed and dysfunctional towards God. But there's a battle inside here. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived, said this, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? I myself, with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin." Paul says, there's a spiritual battle inside of me. That's why he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 5 and says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. These two are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." So there's a battle out here in this fallen culture. There's a battle inside of me and there's a battle inside of you because we have this old sin nature, the sin principle that wrestles and struggles against the will of God and the commandments of God. But not only is there a battle out there and not only is there a battle in here, we have a real enemy, the devil and his demons. The devil and his demons. And this passage is telling us that we need to be aware of how how the devil seeks to deceive us through his schemes. Because if we're not aware that there's a real enemy who has a method or a strategy to try to defeat us, we'll live in our own sufficiency. And if we try to live in our own sufficiency, we're going to lose the spiritual battle every time. By the way, this is why it's so important for some of us to take advantage of the fight class that we're offering after this service. After this service and after we have lunch in here, we're going to break into various equipping classes, and one of the equipping classes is fight. And we're going to go into more depth talking about the strategies of the evil one and the resources for spiritual victory. And some of us here need to take that class. We need to take that fight class so that we can be equipped to win the battle. Paul says here that we need to be very aware of the spiritual conflict that we're in. Here's a second principle. We need to be strong in the Lord. Because we can't fight and win on our own. We don't have what it takes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, we're confident because of our great trust in Christ and not because of ourselves. It's not that we think we are qualified in ourselves to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He's enabled us to be ministers of a new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but the new covenant is empowered by the Spirit, and it gives life. See, I'm not qualified, neither are you qualified on our own to live the Christian life, to fight the spiritual battle, to win the conflicts that we're in. We don't have what it takes. It's only in the resources of the Holy Spirit. And when we are Spirit-filled soldiers who are strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God, that's when we can win the spiritual battle. It's kind of like when David faced Goliath. When David came up on the scene, Goliath, who is an archetype of Satan, was shouting his taunt at all the soldiers of Israel. And as he shouted, it created fear. It says they were terrified and filled with fear. And if you think about the occasion, these were professional soldiers whose identity was in being a soldier, fighting battles. And Goliath filled them so much with fear, he literally emasculated them and robbed them of our identity. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to rob us of our God-created identity. He wants to make us feel worthless, like losers. David comes on the scene, and when nobody else would go down into the Valley of Elah and fight Goliath, David said, the Lord has given me victory over the lion and the bear. He's going to give me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go fight him. And what Saul does is Saul says, okay, here, take my armor. Now, Saul got elected as king because he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. So he was a big guy. So he put his helmet on David, which probably just like went all the way down to his shoulders. He put his armor on him, which just kind of hung from him. He gave him his sword, and David like could hardly walk around it. And in fact, it says in the text, I can't walk around in these. You got to read, here's an average-sized man wearing this giant's armor. It's way too big for him. But there's something else that's there. Because what David grabs to go fight Goliath are his slingshot and his staff, the very weapons that he used when he defeated the lion and the bear. When David says, I can't walk around in these, and he grabs the slingshot and he grabs the staff and walks down into the Valley of Elah, figuratively, what he's saying is, I can't win in Saul's armor, but I can win in the weapons that God provides. Because Saul's armor represented the best that the flesh had to offer. Because Saul had fought a lot of battles, and he'd won those battles. See, the armor of Saul represented the best we have to offer, our best intellect, our best experience, our best personality, our best methods, our best practices. It's kind of like us looking at a problem and figuring out how to solve it and giving our best shot to solve it. But that will not win the spiritual battle. The best you have will not win the spiritual battle. It takes God's resources. And that's why we got to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So what God does is he gives us spiritual weapons to fight and win the spiritual battle. And so the third principle is that we need to put on and take up God's resources for a victorious fight. Put on and take up God's resources for a victorious fight. See, we receive power and strength and might when we put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. That's what we're to put on and we're to take up. There's this scene in the movie Black Hawk Down after they've fought the Battle of Mogadishu and they're out and they finally come back, and it's right at the very end of the movie. And here are these soldiers that have been beaten and tired and given it their best, very best effort, and they're laying there kind of like all depleted. And then there's this one special forces guy, a Delta Force guy, and he walks up to a table and there's all these weapons, and he starts grabbing more weapons. And one of the guys looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going back in." And he's grabbing the weapons, all the weapons that he needs to go back into the battle and win the battle. See, we got to grab every weapon that God provides. And we're told in this passage that God gives us truth and righteousness. He gives us the gospel. He gives us faith. He gives us salvation. He gives us the word of God. He gives us prayer. Are we taking up and putting on all the weapons that God gives us? Are we using everything that God provides? Because if we will use everything that God provides, we'll win the battle. Now, because it's a battle, we don't come out the other side unscathed. See, it's not like this heroic vision of being like a superhero. And we're going against, you know, mortal man, and we use these superpowers, and we're completely unscathed, and we obliterate the enemy without any struggle. And see, the terms in here are struggle, fight, stand. So you may come out bloodied and bruised, but you come out a winner. You come out a winner. God wants us to fight and actually win the spiritual battle. And in order to do that, and this is the last principle, we have to go on the offensive with divine weapons. We have to go on the offensive with divine weapons. See, the armor protects us. The weapons give us victory. The armor protects us. The weapons give us victory. And the weapons we're given in this passage are the Word of God, prayer, and the bold proclamation of the gospel. The Word of God, prayer, and the bold proclamation of the gospel. See, God's word is this two-edged sword that pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you're truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." See, when we take God's word and we read it and we study it and we memorize it and we confess it and we stand upon it, it sets us free and gives us spiritual victory. It's the sword of the Spirit. And then when we pray in the Spirit, it's like those scenes that we've seen where smart bombs are delivered right on target. Our prayers, when they're led by the Holy Spirit, they unleash God's resources to be like a smart bomb right against the enemy. Or they release resources desperately needed to a fellow believer to help them win the battle. That's why we're to pray for one another in the Spirit, it says. And then Paul says, "Pray for me." I was joking earlier with Bob Matosian. I guess in the context of this passage, I'm the closest thing to the Apostle Paul. So please pray for me. Pray for me that I'll boldly preach the gospel. Pray for Pastor Kenny that he'll boldly preach the gospel. Pray for Pastor Greg that he'll boldly preach the gospel. Pray for your pastors to preach the gospel. Pray for this church to boldly preach the gospel. Pray for the people in your small group to boldly preach the gospel. Think about it. If everyone here was praying for someone else to boldly preach the gospel, then you would probably be the someone that someone else was praying for. And we'd all be covered in prayer, and we'd be empowered in prayer to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I shared this in the previous service, and I don't mean this in any prideful way, but I will make you a guarantee, a promise. If you will invite your neighbors and coworkers and friends to Crossline, if you will invite them here next week to Easter, I will, in the power of the Spirit, boldly preach the gospel. Amen. And that's when the body of Christ, you see, that's when the body of Christ, we win together. Amen. We win together. I told you there's a fight class to equip you to fight and win the spiritual battle. There's a pray class to equip you to pray in the Spirit. And there's a share class to equip you to share the gospel. Today, after this service, we're going to have some lunch together, and we're going to have opportunity to be equipped as God's people to take belong and join the church, to take fight and learn how to win the battle, to take share and learn how to proclaim the gospel, and to take pray and learn how to pray in the Spirit so that God hears and answers and does miracles. See, we have a new normal in living God's best life. It's spiritual battle. But we can be strong in the Lord by putting on the full armor of God, and we can win. And we can win. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for shooting it straight for us in this passage of Scripture. You didn't sugarcoat it. We are in a battle. But you've also said the full armor of God's available to us to put on and take up. So I pray that every person here would do that. Pray that every person here would be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.